from the Aquarius Home Services Studio. This is Chin Music. This is our baseball show at TalkNorth.com. Please subscribe to your favorite podcast app. If you like the show, go to TalkNorth.com. Subscribe to any shows you do like. We do appreciate it. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. The lineup today, as it usually is, Twins great Roy Smalley, longtime baseball writer and now columnist Lavelle E. Neal III from the Star Tribune. I'm also Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. Again, thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. Let's get right to it. I'm at the ballpark on Thursday night. It looks like it's going to be a really ugly, disheartening loss. Royce Lewis comes up with a runner on in the bottom of the eighth, hits a long two-run homer in a ballpark that the ball doesn't seem to be flying in all that well these days, ties it up. He's played three big league games this year. He's already come up with three or four big hits. As I said in my column, I'm being presumptuous and premature here, but he reminds me in terms of combination of ability and personality. He reminds me more of Kirby Puckett than anybody else I've been around. I'll allow you gentlemen to tell me how wrong I am. Roy, you played with Kirby. You start.
Yeah, that's you've just blasphemed.
I know.
I'm not going to let you get away with comparing anybody to the puck until they've got some years. And I know you're just talking about what looks like ability and what we know of his personality, both of which are personality fantastic. I mean, I just love the kid. And I love his confidence, his enthusiasm, and his positivity in the face of the failures of baseball and all that he's been through injury wise. I mean, it's a special person, I believe. And I love his athleticism. And the more I see him at the plate, and not because he hit a couple of huge home runs, and it's more when I watch the home runs, when I watch the swings that he has, it's a really sound, strong mechanical swing and swing mechanics. So, I mean, I think we ought to heap superlatives on him and expect big things from Royce Lewis. Just he looks like a special guy.
And Lavelle, yeah. I covered Puckett as a beat writer for years. Mm-hmm. I got to know him very well. I know you didn't cover him as a beat writer because unfortunately his career ended before you got here, but you got to know him as well. But you watch Puck, you know the deal. So what do you think?
I think in terms of charisma, they match up really well. The thing that's impressing me right now is how the rest of the Twins players respond to him. Yep. And how it looks like they're feeding off his energy at times. And look at the quotes, you know, Sonny Gray and some other guys talking about him. Like, you know, he's been like their best friend for years. And, you know, Lewis has kind of been not around much the last couple of years because of injury. So that kind of tells you about the person that Royce is. And I think that was similar with Kirby. Like I said, from a charisma standpoint, I think word usage is a little bit different. But from yes. a charismatic standpoint, I think the two compare favorably. And, you know, it's just such a small sample size because we only saw him for a few games last year. We just saw him for a few games this year. But, man, it seems like he's already, you know, he's got this penchant for big plays. And this team needed it. I mean, this could be the ejection that this offense needed to kind of get it going a little bit here. Kirilloff and Royce Lewis are their two best hitters. And, of course, Kirilloff's rather quiet and reserved. Lewis is the chatty one. But they both get in the batter's box and they're going to give you good at bats and they're getting on base. And I grimaced it when I first saw the lineup for the third game in Houston, but because, you know, Correa just hasn't been the player he should be. It was just great to see guys in the second and third hole actually produce and have quality at bats and put the ball in play and have good things happen. So, you know, Lewis joining the Twins could be a turning point in the season.
Let's get more into the personality before we get back to baseball. And we got a lot to talk about here today. We want to let you know we are coming to you from the Aquarius Home Services Studio. Thanks to Aquarius Home Services. Thanks also to All Energy Solar, First Minnetonka City Bank, where your locally owned community bank, and Grain Belt, which is sponsoring a number of live shows for Chin Music across Minneapolis, usually near the ballpark. We had a blast at Loon Cafe recently. June 13th, 5:30 p.m. we will be doing another live show, this time at O'Donovan's near the ballpark. O'Donovan's right next to Target Center, June 13th, 5:30. Come out. I will give away a bobblehead. I'll give away some other stuff. Grain Belt gives away some cool doohickeys. And we'd love to see you. Come up and say hello to Lavelle and Roy. And, you know, give me the side eye, whatever you like to do. We appreciate it. So, Roy, I want to get into this with you. Well, and both of you. You've seen it from different angles. You know, as a media person, you want the people you cover to be fairly receptive, and you love it when somebody like Royce Lewis or Kirby Puckett is even fun to talk about. But I also understand that it's their workplace. It's not always fun to be interviewed. It's not always fun to have somebody extra on the outside of the organization hanging around. I get that. How hard is it for someone like Kirby or Royce to always be on and always be the engaging person who, because these guys, what they have in common is they know everybody's name. They engage with everybody from the manager to the coaches, to the teammates, to the clubhouse workers, to media, to front office people. And they always feel like they are the person driving the mood of the clubhouse. How hard is that to do when you're also worried about at bats and injuries and everything else that a major league player has to worry about?
You know, I think it's taxing, but I don't think it's hard for guys like that. And there's two different, I think you'd understand my, how the two words are different, because it's not hard for them because they're special people in that way. And we know people, all of us know people in any, industry or walk of life, whatever, that have that kind of presence and come by it naturally. And it's just always what you see is what you get. And it takes a person that is wired that way and is special in that way. Now, it doesn't mean it's not taxing. The other thing that is impressive about people that come by that naturally, have that natural personality, that natural ability, the natural, if not desire, at least being okay with, you know, being that guy, it does take its toll. And there will be times that, and most people from the outside don't see it. There will be times when there is some pullback and introspection and some quiet time, you know, as well. Just to recharge. But those guys like Royce Lewis and Puck, they were wired to be that way. And I'll add one other characteristic that makes guys that are wired to be that way even more impressive. This is what makes real superstars, and that is they back up that personality and that willingness to and desire to be that guy with performance on the field. And when you get that combination, I mean, that was the thing about Puck. You know, Puck came up in 84, you know, he got, what was he, 4 for 4, the first big league game he ever played. And I was actually the last 2 months of that season, I was with the White Sox. And I think I was playing first base one day and in Comiskey Park, and he got on first. And he said, "Mr. Smalley, it's a pleasure, you know, admire you, blah, blah, blah," you know, all this stuff. As if he was a 12-year-old kid asking for my autograph. And he had charisma as a cute guy then that looked like he was going to be a really nice player, and just develop. It took about 1 year for him to feel comfortable with the big personality and start performing like the Hall of Fame player that became. So the combination of, you know, the personality and the performance, you don't see in those extremes very often.
Lavelle, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with Roy. This is a rare traits that, you know, two guys who are a generation apart both have. You know, I never covered Kirby, but I've been in the clubhouses when he's walked in and the room lights up when he walks in, and he's boisterous and loud and laughing and jokes and Royce perpetual smile on his face. Even with the setbacks he's had physically, it hasn't deterred him. It's just exciting to think about the possibilities here. If they have a high impact guy with that type of personality again, in the organization, of course that bodes well for Lewis's future, cause the other guy is a Hall of Famer. But a lot to like, it was a lot to like about Puck, and a lot to like about Royce. And, I think everybody would be rooting for them to have Royce to have the same, trajectory in terms of production that Kirby had in his career. So this could be fun to sit back and watch going forward here. And it's also cool now because we can finally settle the Royce Lewis Hunter Green debate, because that was the year that both guys were highly touted. The Twins worked out both and decided to take Royce over Hunter. Hunter is in the Reds rotation now, and Royce is up now. So we can see how that kind of transpires over the next few years as far as, you know, who make the smarter move.
Now let's get to the other young hitter who has been impressing. You mentioned him earlier, Lavelle. Alex Kirilloff is net right now. Looks like he is turning into the hitter they thought he was going to be all along. Tremendous at bats, adjustments within at bats, fighting off two strike pitches, extending at bats, hitting the ball the other way, having a really professional approach with runners in scoring position. This is kind of what everybody wanted to see, and I think we're seeing it now.
Jim, I remember sitting next to you in the press box when we first saw Joe Maurer play for the Twins, and I started chanting in the press box, hit him third, hit him third, hit him third. I'm going to say the same thing about Alex. Alex needs to be in the top third of batting order, quality of bats, setting the tone for the rest of the batting order. He's been getting on base. He's been spraying the ball over the field. He's gotten screwed with a couple pitch calls as well, and has not let that affect him. When he came up and joined the Twins, he immediately was the guy having competent at bats while everybody was struggling with runners in scoring position, struggling with the bases loaded. He was like, you know, I haven't been here for all that. I'm just going to go up there and have my at bats and stick to my game plan. And you see that every time. He doesn't give away at bats, doesn't give away pitches. Like I said, him being paired with Lewis right now is probably the best thing that's happened to this Twins offense.
Well, I just love his approach. And the thing about Kirilloff is he reminds me a bit like Don Mattingly in the sense that he has a tremendous ability to let the ball travel. He's comfortable. He's comfortable getting a base hit to left field, to his opposite field. And when a guy can do that with the kind of strength and talent that he has, he will just get better and better in terms of damage, in terms of, you know, doubles and home runs, because he will learn how to set pitchers up and how to look for a certain pitch in a certain situation and let it fly, you know, to his pull field. And he doesn't do that very, very often. He's kind of like Luis Arraez in that way, where you're going to let the ball travel just because you don't want to be fooled. And you know you can handle the fastball even if you wait. And when I say handle, I mean at the worst case scenario, foul it back. So he's waiting and he's waiting and he's let the ball travel, and he's got the kind of approach of the ball with his lower body and his hands, where his lower body stays real square to slightly open, his hands stay back, and so he's cleared. He has already cleared the path that his hands are going to take, and then it's just hands to the ball. He let the ball travel and hands to the ball and hands and therefore big in, you know, right to the ball. And so he's their best hitter right now. To Lavelle's point, I mean, hitting, you know, the alluding Lavelle to him hitting third, like you were clamoring for Joe, he's their best hitter in terms of tough at bats and batting average, I think. And so third is the ideal spot for him. The only thing that I would say about that is he walks a lot. And the reason he walks a lot is because he fouls pitches off a lot and has a good eye, and ultimately it'd be a base on balls. You might want to hit him second. I mean, second's not a bad spot for him until he matures into how Mattingly matured from a opposite field 300 hitter to a devastating all over the field hitter. And I think Kirilov's got a chance to be very much like that. In the meantime, his on-base percentage is so high. With Polanco back, you've got some, and now with Royce Lewis swinging the bat pretty well, the manager has some real options here in the second and third spot. And we'll see how that goes. They don't have a bona fide fourth hitter until Royce Lewis or somebody else decides that they're that guy. But and so that's why I worry about Kirilov in the third spot, only because there'll be a lot of times when, you know, there's a runner or two on and it's ball four to Kirilov, and now who's hitting fourth? With Kirilov hitting second, he's going to be on base an awful lot, and then you have a switch hitter, maybe Polanco, hitting behind him, and then go to somebody else. So a lot of really good options when you have Polanco back and you've got Kirilov swinging the bat the way he is. I agree with you, Lavelle. He's got to hit second or third, and that's a pick 'em for me.
All right, we have more hitters to talk about. We have some pitchers to talk about as well. I want to let you know that Aquarius Home Services provides a studio for Talk North podcast. Here's more on Aquarius Home Services.
Scott here, your Aquarius Home Services radio guy. Remember complaining about how long the winter was? And now it's time to get ready for hot, humid summer days. Be worry-free with your AC and schedule your tune-up with Aquarius. A quality trained technician will do a thorough evaluation, review all the details and recommendations, and answer any questions. At Aquarius, our goal is to always provide amazing service and earn the right to be recommended. We're just a click away at AquariusHomeServices.com.
Also want to let you know there's a lot to worry about when running a business. Your utility bill shouldn't be at the top of that list. Solar energy cuts down on unpredictable utility costs, making your job just a little easier. Find out more about how your business can go solar at allenergysolar.com/learn. Go to allenergysolar.com/coach to find out about other methodology for panel installations, how well they do them and how they can do them, whether you're a business or a private residence. Also want to let you know about First Minnetonka City Bank. We are your local owned community bank.
First Minnetonka City Bank. We're your locally owned community bank. Phone calls are answered by real people instead of a never-ending voicemail system. Dedicated financial representatives who really care about your personal, business, mortgage, and investment objectives. First Minnetonka City Bank is an independent community bank that offers the same wealth of products and services as larger banks, yet provides the highest quality customer service that other banks forget. We take the time to develop one-on-one relationships with our customers. The same banker will work with you year after year, providing the long-term understanding necessary to tailor our services to your changing needs. First Minnetonka City Bank. Stop by or call one of our convenient locations to experience the First Minnetonka difference for yourself.
And one last reminder. June 13th, 5:30, O'Donovan's, downtown, before the Twins game, Roy Smalley, Lavelle Neal, myself, and Brandon Morton come by, giving away a bobblehead and some other fun stuff. We do appreciate you showing up. Come by, have a beer, have something to eat, check it out. Let's continue down the hitter road here. Max Kepler, Roy, you're going to be more analytical about this. I hate his swing. It feels like he's feeling for the ball. It looks like he's starting a swing early and hoping it hits his bat. And meanwhile, Wallner looks like he has figured it out. And I know Kepler is, they like Kepler's ability to play right field. I saw some good signs from Wallner playing right field last weekend. Great arm, throws to the right base, moves around pretty well. What's your view of that apparent competition for at-bats at this point?
Well, I'll tell you, what I've been thinking about, and Lavelle opened the box of, what should the lineup be? And so I'm gonna go there first. The problem, because this involves Wallner, the problem with the Twins lineup right now, besides the fact that that Correa's not hitting a bunch, not hitting at all for the most part. I mean, that's a bit of a problem. A bigger problem that I see is that the Twins are left-handed, are overly left-handed.
Yep.
And with Kirilloff, Kepler, Gallo, Larnick, potentially Wallner, they're overly left-handed in the run production category, and none of the left-handers are swinging it very well, with the exception of Kirilloff. All the other guys, so we're talking about who's going to hit fourth and who's going to hit fifth and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So you'd certainly like to see, you know, Kirilloff, Polanco, Larnick, who's killing it, or, you know, Kirilloff, Polanco, Gallo, who's killing it, Kirilloff, Polanco, Kepler, somebody, you know, trying to get right, left as best they can in a lineup is really difficult when your big left-hand hitters that you're counting on aren't swinging it very well. So Wallner may get a chance again to see how that goes, because the thing that's hurting him as much as anything is, in my opinion, is the fact that they've got three left-handed hitters that they're really counting on to be run producers that are not being that right now. And it makes the lineup tough.
Roy, who do you like more between Wallner and Larnick? I think you've been a big Larnick supporter. Is this going to be a conundrum for you?
This will be a challenge for me. I have been a Larnick supporter, and I still think that there's a place in the big leagues for him to have the opportunity to drive in a bunch of runs to be a good run producer. But this is not really a rebuilding year for the Twins, although the Twins have done a nice job of kind of combining over the last 5 years, combining rebuilding and trying seriously to contend when everybody was healthy. But this is a kind of year where I don't think there's going to be a lot of patience, nor should there be necessarily, for guys to figure it out and get it going. I think they've got to have left-handed hitters that are swinging the bat well, and I think decisions have to be made here pretty quickly about that.
I totally agree. I think Kepler's on borrowed time, to be honest with you, just because, you know, Larnick's going to get healthy and Wallner is tearing the cover off the ball. I think he reached base in 8 consecutive plate appearances or something. Yep. When they sent him down.
Yep.
And then he goes to St. Paul and he's continuing to rake there. He stole a home run, I think, yesterday or 2 days ago. He's got multiple home runs. It's locked in. And you look at his minor league career, he's had a 900 OPS almost every level he's been at. So yep. His time is here. And Max, it was a good signing. I thought I would have signed him too, knowing his background. He had the good year in 2019. He really hasn't done much more than that. I don't like the contact he makes. He has trouble making consistently hard contact. It looks like he's trying to go the other way a little bit, but is struggling getting that done. And there's like there's some pitches he should be murdering, and he's not. And I don't know if someone could bring Trevor Bauer back from Japan, and maybe that'll help Kepler get going again. But we're at the stage of the season now where after the first 2 months, teams start making changes with personnel in order to maximize their team. And I think the Twins are headed for that consequence with Max Kepler. So I think this is a big stretch of games for him.
And Lavelle,
Max is facing in that regard, guys, is that other than 19, when he had the big year, this 2 months, if he had had 3 years in a row like that, or three, 21, 22 were relatively productive. Now the first 2 months here, you go, well, he'll get it going. And I think that if you're the front office and the manager, at some point in time, you have to say, well, why do I think he's going to get it going? That's the problem. And mm-hmm. And you look at all that promise that he had before 19, and there were some issues that, I had with him. I couldn't figure out, why he didn't hit right-handed fastball pitchers better, and or right-handed pitchers in general, Then he you know, all of a sudden he stands up one year and has a big year against left-handers, left-handed pitching. And you go, okay, now he's going to figure it out because, I mean, with that swing, that talent, he's got to hit right-handers. I mean, as a left-hander, he's got to hit those guys. This guy, here he comes. And 19, he hits with 30-some home runs. And you go, okay, mm-hmm. Now here we are. And yet, no, we're not here. You know, it hasn't been that way. So that's the problem he's facing. It's that he hasn't established enough of a consistency where they can say, well, he's had a bad 2 months, but he'll get it going.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's just we know who he is at this point. I want to see Wallner out there. There's no doubt about it. Let's move on to another potential conundrum. The Twins signed Vasquez for 3 years. Jeffers right now is outperforming him by a wide margin. Vasquez, I think he's good in the room. I think people like and respect him. He's been on two championship teams. He has a certain presence about him. I'm happy to give him credit for the Twins rotation performing so well in general. But in terms of offensive production and basic mechanics behind the plate, he has not been good.
I totally agree. And I think it's time to be more of a co-sharing catching role with him and Jeffers. One guy three times a week, the other time, other guy four, then vice versa the next week, four and three. It looks like Jeffers is at least in the position where he can put the bat in the ball. He had a nice home run against Houston. He looks a little more threatening offensively. There isn't any pop under with Vasquez. There's nothing at the plate. And I believe, I don't have his numbers in front of him, I think his OPS is under 600 right now.
Oh, yeah. It's been terrible.
Yeah, that is just bad. You know, guys get benched for that. So, but you do value his ability to handle a pitching staff and call games. And there is value to that. But, you know, that's another decision the Twins may have to make here. They flip-flop and have Vasquez come in and back up Jeffers. But I'm advocating them sharing that role. A little more now. I think Jeffers deserves to play at least three times a week.
Right.
Yeah. I think that Vasquez is going through a streak right now that at the plate that looks totally different than the first month of the season. He was a really tough out in April, and for the last month, I watch him. I think, is this the same guy? I mean, it doesn't even look close. So I'm not sure if I'm okay with Lavelle's idea for sure. I mean, give Jeffers. I think when you scald the ball a few times like Jeffers has, unless you're really concerned about his defense behind the plate, then I think he's got to play more and let Vasquez hit his way back into the lineup for more playing time. The way Jeffers appears to be doing, so I have no problem with them, with Jeffers getting more time. I just don't think that Vasquez is done. It was too drastic a change from how well I thought he swung the bat in April to now to think that it's anything more than, you know, just a really really bad streak. He's messed up somehow, and I may be wrong about that. He may be done, but I just kind of don't think so.
What's interesting is that last year with Boston, he had a very good offensive year, which is one of the reasons the Astros traded for him. With the Astros, his OPS last year was 585. With the Twins this year, about the same amount of time, his OPS is 593. So I don't want to say he's done either. I don't want to make some grand proclamation, hey, this guy's never going to hit again. But it's starting to build up to a little bit of a stretch now where he just hasn't been good.
Well, and if Jeffers gets more, you know, more at-bats, you know, more playing time and more at-bats, then we'll know a little bit about it. We'll know more about what he's, you know, where he is and who he is. You know, and I think Vasquez behind the plate is more valuable. There's going to be a trade-off between, you know, offense and defense and pitch calling, you know, between a guy's offense and their defense and pitch calling on the one hand. And then we're going to see. I mean, just like to a lesser degree, but still the point, I don't want to anoint Royce Lewis yet. I mean, he hadn't played a full season in AAA or higher in a couple of years. So, I mean, let's give him, you know, a little slack. In the same way, I don't want to say that Vasquez is done or that Jeffers is the answer. Don't know. If Jeffers plays four times a week, maybe, you know, maybe he has taken a next step higher. Maybe he retreats back. So we just don't know. We just don't know yet.
Right. This reminds me of the old story, Roy, of Ted Williams managing, I believe, the Washington Senators at the time. And he and his coaches are standing out on the field, being of a spring training day and trying to figure out, you know, bunting and pitching and PFP and fielding drills and cutoff drills. Mm-hmm. And they're all kind of arguing over what they should do. And finally, Ted goes, bleep it. Let's just hit. there are a million things going on with the team. We've talked pretty much only about hitting because that's fun and it's very relevant for this team right now. For our final thoughts, you get to go in any direction you want: hitting, pitching, fielding, music, whatever you like. I will start here. Pablo Lopez has got to be better. We saw that stuff early in the year and said, "Wow." And the stuff has not played since he signed that big contract. And it's been,
right.
And it's kind of been one inning per outing that has doomed him. But what that matters. Now, that's not an excuse. That's just something he's got to get through. Yesterday, they gave him Thursday night. We're talking here on Friday afternoon. Thursday night, they gave him a 2-run lead in the bottom of the fifth, top of the sixth. He walks the number 9 hitter. And then a series of kind of, you know, singles and bloops and soft hits end up dooming him. But you know what? Don't walk the number 9 hitter, and maybe you don't have that horrific inning that, you know, that almost cost them a game.
Agreed.
I like almost everything. I like everything I know about the guy. I like his pitches. I like his work ethic, his composure. But eventually, you just got to have results. Lavelle?
Oh, I got a final thought.
All right.
Carlos Correa should not be batting in the first inning. All right? I'm ready to drop him down in the bat in order to make him earn his way back to the top. He's not driving the ball. He's not getting big hits. Looks like teams are starting to pitch him inside. I don't know if there's a weakness there that they have discovered on him. Looks like he's having trouble with inside pitches. I'm looking at his career numbers here. He has played 97 games when he's batted in the sixth hole. So I'm telling Rocco Baldelli, Skip, feel free to drop Carlos Correa to the sixth spot and have him earn his way back up, because this team needs to get off to a better start with its lineup, and having someone like Kirilloff and Polanco up there will be more productive than Carlos Correa right now. Hit him six, hit him six, hit him six.
Roy,
you guys may or may not remember the fact that last year when there were complaints about Correa's offense, and I said, he was in Houston flourishing as a sixth hitter because he had all those guys around him. And in Houston, he didn't hit second. He didn't hit third. He didn't hit fourth. He hit sixth or fifth a lot. And that was, you know, that's where he flourished. So I just don't want to put too much on him. I don't think he's a third hitter. And I don't think, you know, for right now, I think Lavelle's right. I think, you know, he's not getting on base enough to be a second hitter. So you got to do something else and hope somebody else steps up. My final thought, though, Willie Castro.
Hey.
We talked about all these moves. We talked about all these moves that the front office made. And, you know, Farmer, I love. Solano, I love. Gallo, that's, you know, that's fine. They got they got all of these players that were, you know, kind of consider second tier, that it's not the big deal, but it made them a real professional lineup up and down the bench. But Willie, and we didn't give Willie Castro much credit at all. I want to give him some credit. He has been a savior here with Ramirez going down. He's been pressed into playing third, some left. When Gallo went down, he can play short. He can play second. Mm-hmm. The young man has been really, really valuable in that kind of role, and got some big hits, had some really big at bats, and not sometimes just a walk in a big situation. So I just got to give him some props because he's been really good in that role.
That's a great point, because so many role players, when they have to play almost every day, they kind of get exposed. And I like him the more I see him. He's got speed. He's got an arm. He plays a really nice third base. He can play around the field. He can drive a ball. He can take a good clutch at bat. He's been phenomenal.
Yeah. And I'll add this too. I think there's at least twice this year where there was a roster move looming, and someone with the Twins is telling me this may be it for Willie Castro. But right. Then something else would happen, and Willie be spared, you know, the axe. And, you know, he has repaid them for that. Rocco could play a different type of game when Willie's on the field, because he puts him in motion. He lets him steal bases. The offense looks a little livelier, you know, because Willie's been able to contribute a little bit. So it's worked out. That's an under-the-radar acquisition that is paying off.
Fascinating season. More injuries, more pitching intrigue to talk about next week. I promise we will get to Louis Varland, who's been fantastic. Today was the Ted Williams honorary Bleep It, Let's Hit show. Again, reminder, June 13th, 5:30, O'Donovan's. Come on by. We'll give away a bobblehead, and it's a great place to hang out for a Twins game. Thanks to Roy. Thanks to Lavelle. Thanks to Brandon Morton. We'll talk to you soon.